So this week is Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva and he has a dream. Now, until we received the Torah on Sinai, hundreds of years after Yaakov Avinu had this dream, this was the Torah. We had no idea we were going to get a Torah on Sinai. We had this teaching from our father, from our Zayde, from our great-grandfather Yaakov, that he told us about this prophecy. And throughout the terrible exile in Egypt, the only thing that kept us going was this Torah that we learned, which was the story of the dream, the prophecy that Yaakov had, which begins, "Vehinei sulam mutzav arzav," behold, there's a ladder standing on the ground, "Veroisha megiyah shemaimah," on the top of the ladder, the head of the ladder reaches the heavens, "Vehinei malach elikim oilim v'yoridim boy," and behold, there are angels of God rising, ascending, and coming down on it. "Vehinei Hashem nitzav olav," and behold, God is standing over him. God speaks to Yaakov and tells him, "I am the God of your father Avram and Yitzchak," and so on. So the Baal HaTurim notes some interesting gematrias in the Sulam is gematria momoin, is gematria money. So the Rebbe Ephraim, Moshe Chaim Ephraim, the grandson, the son of the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov, he says, he notes this Baal HaTurim, and he talks about the kavana. What is the kavana of giving tzedakah? You know, we were learning Avraham is the Merkava for Chesed. Avraham is a Chosid. The Zohar Kodesh says, what's a Chosid? Normally, if we understand that the word chosid is a derivative of chesed, then it has to do with loving kindness. Even though in the more modern Talmudic idea of chosid is somebody who goes beyond the letter of the law, is not just trying to fulfill, obey the law, but is trying to act out the spirit and so on. That's the idea of chassid, then chassidus then becomes a level of piety. The Zohar Kodesh says, "Ezehu chassid hamis chassidim koinoi." The definition of a chassid is somebody who does loving kindness with God. So, in Sefer Yetzirah, in the first Mishnah, we talked about what that means. But in practical terms, when Avraham, who was the epitome, the embodiment of loving kindness, when Avraham sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, desperate to have guests upon whom he could wait, and he's almost 100 years old, and this is the third day after the circumcision, and he's in tremendous pain, and even more than the pain of the recovery from circumcision was his pain at not having people to serve, guests in his house. Nevertheless, if we look at Avraham and his kindness, we see that it really isn't so much Avraham's desire to do kindness with people, but Avraham's desire to do kindness with God. In Avraham's kavana, when he gave tzedakah, Avram's intent when he gave a poor man money was not to assuage his own feelings of discomfort on seeing somebody in pain. You know, very often what we think of as our love and our kindness with strangers and with others, our empathy and so on, really it's not. Right? We're taking care of our own discomfort. If I see somebody walking down the street and I see somebody in so much pain, I stop and give him a dollar, or I give him $5, really, I'm really giving it to myself because I'm in so much pain about watching that person. It's not really, if I didn't see that person, I wouldn't be going running around looking for people who are in pain. So seeing that person has touched something in me. But Avram Avinu, he only saw God. And when he saw somebody in need, he said, I know, God, that you want to pour your Shefa to flow in your abundance down into this world, to this person. And I know that, you know, I can be the medium, I can be the conduit through which your love flows into the world. And I know that more than this man needs help, you, God, want to help him. So this is, I feel that something I can do for you, God, is I can help this person for you. And then somehow that will take away, or that will, that's a kindness that I can do for you, God. Right? So everything that Avram did for people, his kavana inside, his deepest thought was beyond taking care of the person's pain, was his awareness that this is a need that God has. And that in taking care of people, he was taking care of God. And that's the meaning of the Zohar, Ezehu Chosid Hamis Chasedim Koinoi. What's the definition of a Chosid? Somebody who does Chesed, loving kindness with God. So, the Degel Machne Ephraim, the grandson of the Holy Baal Shem Tov, says, the hint here in the dream that Yaakov has, he says, it could be as follows. Everybody knows that the proper kavana, the proper intent, when giving tzedakah and giving charity is to unify the names of God, which are Yudke Vovke and Adni. We can understand that in many ways. One of the ways that we understand it is that, you know, when I say a bracha, Baruch Atah, and then I read the name of God, Yudke Vovke, with my eyes, but with my mouth I say the word Adni, my master. But what am I thinking when I'm saying that? I'm thinking about what I'm reading with my eyes, which I'm not allowed to say in my mouth. So the true unification of God in the world is when I pronounce the name of God but have in mind the other name of God. How does this work? So Rebbe Ephraim here, the Degel Machne Ephraim, is saying, if I do kindness, if I do an act of love to someone in this world, but in my mind, really, I'm doing an act of love and kindness to God. As an example, we say, more than the calf wishes to suckle, the cow wants to nurse the calf, right? So if in my kindness that I do with a human being, the kindness that I'm doing with the human being is really a clothing, is really a narthex, a sheath in which is hidden, in which God is inside the act. And that really, not God is inside the act in the sense that I say to this person, it's not really me who's giving you the money, this is a gift from God. That's a really simplistic understanding of the narthex, the sheath. No, but the act of kindness that I'm doing with the human being is really a sheath and a clothing and a cloak for the act of love and kindness that I'm doing with God. Then, in that act of tzedakah, I am doing the same thing as I would when I pronounce the name of God, Adni, and really in my mind I'm thinking Yudke Vovke, and I'm reading it with my eyes, and I'm saying it in my mind, but with my lips, and with my throat, and with my voice, I'm actually pronouncing a completely other name. That is the equivalent of giving tzedakah. That these two acts, the giving charity, but having in mind the divine, charity with the divine, and saying, you know, praying, saying the name of God, but always reading it in one way, at the same time simultaneously pronouncing it another way, that is considered the yichud, the unification. So really, making God and the world one can happen in this act, in this moment of loving kindness that I do with another person. And if in that moment of loving kindness that I do with another person, I'm really underneath it, I want to help God, at that moment, I unite the Creator and creation. And then Rebbe Ephraim says, and through this unification, what I'm really doing is I bring down the abundance, the flow, to all the world. So that's the meaning of this Balaturim, who says that the word sulam, ladder, is a hint at money. Because sulam, ladder, has a gematria of 136. It's interesting that nowhere in the Torah is sulam and ladder written to be a gematria of 136. That in fact it's choser, that it's without the vav. Sulam, as it's read, is 136. Sulam, as it's written, is in fact only 130. The Vav that's not there, that represents the Tzaddik himself, right? He's the Vav, Bechinas Tiferes, or you could say that the Vav represents the connection that the Tzaddik makes between the worlds above and the worlds below. The Vav means the hook, the connector, right? So, Rebbe Ephraim says, when we look at money, we think of it as being such a lowly thing, right? Mutzav arzo. And what could be more earthy, what could be lower on the list of spiritual things than lucre? Money, for goodness sake, what is it? However, you should know, Rosh HaMegi HaShemaimo, that its head reaches heaven, because money can do things, amazing things. And there are angels of God that are going up and down on it, meaning, what is a malach? So Rebbe Ephraim says, malach is gematria 91, which is the yichud of the name of God written Yudke Vovke, and the way it's pronounced Adni, that by giving tzedakah, that by giving someone some money, we create this yichud, and that yichud is the malach. And we enable the abundance to flow upwards and downwards. And by doing that, because I do chesed with God, so the money that I'm giving is actually loving kindness that I do with God, and that brings down the loving kindness that God wants to flow into the world. So Malach Lekim Oilim V'Yoridim Boy, first Oilim, first they have to go up, because the tzedakah that I'm giving is really tzedakah with God, and then Yoridim Boy. The Rebbe Rabbunim, he says in Kol Simcha, he says, why does it say three times Vehine? Vehine Sulam, behold, there's a ladder, and then it says, and behold, angels, and then it says, and behold, God. So he brings a very interesting medrash. It's a Sifri in Parshas Korach, and it's mentioned a few times in the Yalkut Shimoni. The word Hine, behold, is an expression of Simcha. Ein Vehine Elo Simcha. So, first of all, he says, why doesn't it? This image of the ladder, right? Why couldn't it have been a road? Why does it have to be a ladder? And he says, because these spiritual steps can only be taken as steps. There's no elevator from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth. That there's a series of steps that have to be taken. So, what's the chief step? The chief step is Simcha. So there has to be Simcha, he says, there has to be Simcha when you encounter the ladder, you have to be in joy. When you see the angels, you have to be in joy. And when you see God, you have to see in joy. And that was something that Yaakov had worked on. And that is how you know that you're ready, that when your encounter with the spiritual steps fills you with joy, then you know that you're ready to take that step. And Rabbunim says that's the meaning of Vehine, 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 Simcha, an even greater Simcha, and infinite Simcha. And that's how Yaakov knew that this is a prophecy. Also, the fact that Hine, the word Hine, is a Gematria 60, and the idea of a dream, the difference between a dream and a prophecy is 60. So, the Hine, Hine, Hine tells Yaakov that this is not just a dream, that this is a pure prophecy. You know, there's a Rebbe Lemelech in Parshas Kisiso, where it talks about the shekel. Zeyitnu, this is what they should give. God shows Moshe Rabbeinu a shekel made out of fire. So Rebbe Lemelech mentions the Gemara. The Gemara says, Benon shel kedoshim, who are the children of the holy ones? How do we know somebody is a child of a holy man? He doesn't know tsurus de matbea. He doesn't know what coins, what money looks like. Right? If you can grow up without ever having a relationship with money, then it means your parents must be very holy. So Tosis there on the Gemara asks, why Benon shel kedoshim? Why don't we just call people holy if they don't know what money is? Why are they children of holy? So he said, well, obviously, you know, if somebody doesn't know what money is, probably his parents didn't know what money were either. Rebbe Melech says it doesn't actually say they don't know what money is. It says they don't recognize the tzuris of the matbea. Right? They've never held money in their hands. Money to them is conceptual. That, you know, the problem is when we get money into our hands, it's like we want to hold on to the money. Then we become fascinated by the surface of money. And that's the problem with Tzuris de Matbea. Where did the money come from? The Baal HaTurim says, Vihine Sulam, how does he say it here? Sulam bigematria ze kise hakovoid. Right? The ladder, the word ladder, has a gematria of this is the throne of glory. We know the Gemara there talking about the coin that God showed Moshe when Moshe says, I don't know what a shekel looks like. God said, Zeyinu, this is what they should give. So the Medrash says, God showed Moshe a coin, mitachas kisei hakovod, from beneath the throne of glory. So beneath the throne of glory is money, right? So everything is connected. So then why do we say that what is holy is somebody who doesn't recognize the coin, right? Who doesn't know the Tzuris de Matbea? So Rebbe Lemelech says a person has to understand that money is fire. That's what God was showing Moshe. Matbea shel esh. You have to explain to people that fire can warm you up and fire can burn you. Money can keep you warm, money can burn. I was thinking about, you know, what is it if we put together the Torah of the Dega Machne Ephraim, the idea that there's something very special in the money and in the ladder that Yaakov is being shown here, and we take the Reb Rabbunim who says that Yaakov is being shown Simcha. I wanted to make the connection between money and simcha. That money can be a tremendous source of simcha. But you know, simcha itself, le simcha mazu oisa, what is joy? There's a big difference between happiness and joy. You know, there's a big difference. Simcha, we have to understand as being contentment. That real joy is contentment. Because happiness, we understand, is a pursuit. So happiness is not joy. Simcha, besides being we understand it as kind of blissful, but there has to be element of contentment in simcha. But why is it, I give somebody money, I'm bringing simcha into their life, right? How could that be? How come if I give somebody money, it's even better than I give them food? How come?
To say that women have a higher, because, but that, all that means to say is that women can gratify a poor person more immediately because they can give them food that they can immediately put into their mouth, whereas somebody, if I give them money, then they still have to turn that money into something that they need, right? On the other hand, when I give somebody money, I'm opening up worlds to them that when I give them food, I'm not doing. Right? And that's why in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we say, Ilu had we been brought out of Egypt and not given them money, dayenu. And so there's a special thanks for being given them money. Why? Because money opens up worlds for us, because it has so much potential, where the food has to be consumed. The money doesn't even have to be consumed in order to empower me, right? There's no point in putting the food in my pocket. I have to eat the food in order to get its benefits. But money has value even when it's buried in the ground. Shlish bekarka. So that's the meaning of Sulam Mutz of Arza. There's something about money that has its feet on the ground, that is connected to the earth, Rosh Magia Shamaimo, in a way that, you know, the barter system doesn't really allow. So if I can receive money, understanding that what I'm getting is something divine. If I can give money, understanding that what I'm giving this person is something divine. If my relationship with money can be as a relationship with something that represents the divine, that's really what Yaakov is being taught here. One of the lessons. As I said, you know, for hundreds of years, the children of Yaakov Avinu were studying this dream. So I'm not saying that this is the only thing, Chalila, that is being taught. But one whole section of what's being taught here, as the Balaturim mentions, and the Dega Machne Ephraim mentions, and the Rebbe Rabbunim mentions, is that Yaakov is being given a key to the simcha, to the joy, the fundamental contentment that is necessary for climbing up the ladder and bringing everything down. And part of that is to have a healthy relationship with money, to be able to receive it and to be able to give it, and to be able to handle it in such a way that we can actually be meyached kitshibrichu shchinte, we can unify God and the world. And we can do that in such a way that it's an act of kindness with God. And these things that we can do with money, and I bless you and me, that we be able to. Amen.